Hey everyone, welcome to another deep dive. We're going to be looking at some news analysis that we have today.
Absolutely. A lot going on out there.
A lot going on in the world. From we've got US politics, we've got international relations,
Yeah.
all sorts of stuff going on.
It's a busy week.
And we've got three sort of main topics that we're going to be hitting today.
Yes.
And one of those is the Ukraine situation and how the new Trump administration is handling that.
Right.
We've got the hostage situation with Hamas.
That's right.
And then we've got some U.S. political shakeups that are going on,
Yes.
including the Postmaster General stepping down
Right.
and Trump's controversial stance on birthright citizenship.
Yeah, that's certainly causing some waves.
So there's a lot going on.
Absolutely.
And a lot of maybe surprising and perhaps even alarming developments in there, especially when it comes to Trump's approach to foreign policy, you know?
Right. It's definitely been a
It's departure.
from previous administrations in terms of approach and style.
It's a different approach. And I think, you know, they use the word transactional
Yes, very much so.
in some of the analysis that we have about how he's handling Ukraine, you know?
Absolutely. And a good example of that is his initial offer of aid to Ukraine came with a pretty significant string attached
Oh,
access to their rare earth metals.
interesting.
So it's a very clear quid pro quo.
Yeah, and is that, you know, is that effective in today's
I mean,
geopolitical landscape,
you
or is
know,
that something that
that's the big question, isn't it? And I think it really reveals a lot about Trump's priorities and his sort of worldview.
Right.
You know, he's repeatedly made claims, for example, that Zelensky started the war and is unpopular, which are demonstrably false.
Wow.
And then you have Defense Secretary Hegseth
Right.
making statements about Ukraine's borders
Yeah.
and NATO membership that echo Russian talking points.
Yeah, that's those quotes that we have about, you know, maybe they just have to accept the loss of territory and, you know.
Right, and sort of questioning the US's commitment to NATO.
Yeah.
That raised a lot of eyebrows in European capitals.
Yeah, it sounds like you know, are we playing into Putin's hands here?
Well, some foreign policy analysts are saying exactly
Dripping.
that. Foreign Policy magazine recently published an article comparing Putin to a chess grandmaster
Wow.
playing a Lenin and amateur, with
Oh.
Trump being the amateur.
Okay.
They argue that Putin is exploiting Trump's impulsiveness,
Right.
his desire for quick victories, and strategically outmaneuvering him at every turn.
Yeah, that's, I
Seem
mean,
pretty.
especially if we start withdrawing from NATO.
Right, which is a real
The
possibility.
EU's noticing this.
Oh, absolutely.
They're
In
taking
fact, they're
steps.
going to have a summit.
Yes, they're organizing a summit to discuss potential actions if the U.S. does indeed reduce its support for Ukraine,
Okay.
potentially going so far as direct military involvement.
Wow.
So they're definitely not taking this lightly. That would totally shift the
Absolutely.
whole
And I
power
within
dynamic.
my agent.
Yeah, so that's a lot to unpack there.
It
But
is.
let's maybe switch gears a little bit and talk about this recent prisoner swap involving Mark Fogel, the teacher,
Right.
and Alexander Vinik, who is a criminal.
This has sparked quite a bit of controversy,
Yeah.
especially given Trump's previous criticism of Biden's prisoner swap for Brittney Griner.
It seems like maybe a little bit of a double standard
It does appear
going
at.
on there, but
Yeah.
beyond just that political, you know, sort of the
Right.
political optics of it, what are some of the strategic implications?
Well, for one, this swap sets a dangerous precedent.
Okay.
It basically tells Russia that they can detain American citizens and use them as bargaining chips to secure the release of their own criminals,
Right.
potentially encouraging them to engage in hostage diplomacy in the future.
And not only that, but it could also provide Russia with compromat,
Absolutely. That's a real concern.
which is basically compromising information.
Yes, information that can be used for blackmail or leverage.
Right, that they can use to
Exactly.
blackmail or
To exert
to
influence
exert
in
influence.
an advantage.
Yeah. So I mean that's
It's a risky game they're
it's
playing.
risky business.
Yeah, very much so.
So I mean it's almost like Putin's playing this, you know, long game here.
Right, he's thinking several steps ahead.
And we're more focused on
Well, Trump is more reactive.
gratification right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Short-term
So
gains rather
that's
than.
long-term strategy.
Speaking of complex situations, let's switch over and talk about the hostage situation with Hamas in the Middle East.
Right. Another area where information is
It
limited,
is a
but there are some developments
Yeah.
worth noting.
Okay.
Hamas has recently resumed hostage exchanges,
That's great.
and there are reports that more hostages and bodies are scheduled to be released
That's
soon.
encouraging. So at least a glimmer of hope.
Yeah, but is this a genuine desire for peace, or is there something else?
It's tough to say for sure.
Yeah.
It's probably a combination of factors. There may be diplomatic efforts behind the scenes,
right.
Maybe some influence from Trump's tough talk.
Yeah.
But we also have to remember that Hamas has a history of using hostage releases as a way to gain concessions,
yeah,
or international recognition.
That's true.
So we can be cautiously optimistic,
right.
But the situation remains volatile, right, and unpredictable.
Unpredictable.
We'll have to see how it plays out.
So fragile peace at this point.
Very much so.
All right. And then, you know, back here in the U.S., we've got this major shakeup with Postmaster General Louis DeJoy stepping down. What's going on with that?
Well, his tenure has been marked by controversy,
yeah,
accusations of slowing down mail delivery,
right,
concerns about his ties to the Trump administration.
Yeah, it's and yeah, you know, the process for selecting the new Postmaster General is a little bit strange.
It is rather unusual.
You know, it's done by this USPS Board of Governors.
Yes.
And there's no input from Congress or from the co-presidents.
Right, which has raised concerns about political influence.
So are we going to see, you know, is Trump going to try to get like a loyalist in there?
That's certainly a possibility.
Yeah.
Given his track record, it wouldn't be surprising.
And speaking of, you know, getting loyalists in and talking.
Well, and this whole idea of controlling the narrative,
yeah,
brings us to the right-wing media machine.
Right.
And how they're really shaping the political landscape.
Yeah.
This is something that's been in the headlines a lot recently.
It has.
Thanks in part to Fox News personality Jesse Waters.
Yeah, that guy.
He's been openly boasting about the right-wing media's information warfare tactics.
It's almost like he's bragging about.
He is. You know, proud of it.
Manipulating public opinion and,
right,
and spreading disinformation.
Well, he gave this interview where he described the right-wing media machine as a well-oiled propaganda operation.
Really?
Churning out stories and narratives with incredible speed and reach.
Yeah, it's like.
And he basically said that Democrats have no chance of competing because they're stuck in the past with their tiny press conferences and their nuanced argument.
Like, he thinks that facts on logic are no match for emotion and outrage.
That's his argument.
But, I mean, it's hard to argue with him that it's effective, you know?
Right. They've mastered the art of crafting simple, emotionally charged narratives.
You know what they're doing.
That resonate with their base.
They know.
And they have this vast network.
Yeah, they've got everything.
From cable news to talk radio, social media.
Yeah, everywhere.
To amplify those narratives.
Yeah, and so it's.
So it's a very effective machine.
It's hard to compete with.
It is, but there are some cracks emerging.
Oh, really?
In their armor.
Okay.
Cable TV viewership is declining.
Oh, interesting.
And even Fox News's audience is aging.
So you're saying that, like, the future of political media.
Right. It's not going to be these monolithic top-down,
yeah,
media empires.
Right.
The rise of independent blogs,
right,
podcasts, social media platforms,
yeah,
is creating a more fragmented and decentralized media landscape.
And is that good or bad, or?
It's a double-edged sword, I think.
Yeah.
On the one hand, it could lead to a more diverse range of voices and perspectives.
Okay.
But on the other hand, right, it makes it harder to discern fact from fiction.
That's true.
And easier for people to find themselves in echo chambers.
Yeah. So, I mean, are we entering like a whole new era?
I think
of information warfare.
Yeah, it's a different kind of battleground.
Yeah.
It's not tanks and troops, it's information and narratives.
Right.
And that requires a different set of skills,
yeah,
critical thinking, media literacy.
Skepticism.
Yeah.
We can't just accept everything we see and hear at face value.
So how does that play into this story about the Washington Post and their decision?
Well, this is a perfect example.
To reject an anti-Trump ad.
Of how attempts to control the narrative can backfire.
Right.
The Post rejected this ad from Common Cause.
Okay.
Which criticized Trump's record on the environment.
Right.
They claimed concerns about accuracy and fairness.
Okay.
But they had no problem running a pro-Trump ad from a fossil fuel industry group.
Wow, that's.
So it's a pretty blatant double standard.
It is.
And it raises questions about their editorial judgment.
Yeah.
And their willingness to stand up to powerful interests.
So what happened?
Well, their attempt to suppress the ad backfired spectacularly.
How so?
Because of something called the Streisand effect.
The Streisand effect.
Okay, which is basically when attempts to suppress information,
okay,
actually give it more attention.
Oh, so it's like, so they tried to, they tried
by rejecting the ad,
keep it quiet.
They made it a much bigger story.
Wow.
Than it would have been utterly.
Interesting. So it's like they accidentally gave it,
exactly,
more publicity.
They amplified the very message they were trying to silence.
Wow. Okay, that's.
It's a classic example
Interesting.
Of how things can backfire in the age of social media.
Yeah, and how
where information spreads like
You
wildfire.
can't really control the.
Right, you can't put the genie back in the bottle
Right,
because
exactly.
it's out there.
Okay, well, we've got one more story.
All right.
And this one I think is
This is an interesting one.
really gonna
It's a head scratcher.
make you scratch your head a little
Yeah,
bit.
for sure.
So Donald Trump, who's never been known
Right.
for, you know, embracing progressive
Not
ideas
exactly.
or really having like a nuanced
Right.
understanding of history,
Not his strong suit.
has suddenly found an appreciation for
Oh, long things.
very specific aspect of Black history.
Right, this is
The
unexpected.
14th Amendment.
The 14th Amendment.
And you're
Wow.
never going to guess why.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
He's all about this 14th Amendment
Lay it on me.
because he wants to restrict birthright citizenship.
Ah, I see where this is going.
So the 14th Amendment
Right.
was adopted after the Civil War,
Yes.
and it granted
So
citizenship
all persons born
to all
of
persons born in the United States
or
or
naturalized.
naturalized in the United States, including formerly enslaved people.
A landmark achievement.
Right. So it was this huge step forward in
Absolutely.
civil
A
rights
cornerstone of equality.
and, you know,
Yeah.
making sure that everybody was equal and under the law. But
Precisely.
now Trump is trying to argue
Here's the
that it
twist.
was never intended
Yeah.
to grant citizenship to the children of undocumented immigrants.
Okay, so he's basically saying
He's saying it only
it
applied
was only meant for
to the
for
formerly enslaved
4 million enslaved people.
and their descendants.
Interesting interpretation.
Yeah, it's a.
Not one shared by most legal scholars.
Yeah, so I mean,
The text of the amendment is pretty clear.
I would think so.
It says all persons born or naturalized in the United States
Yeah, that's it.
and subject to the jurisdiction thereof
Before.
are citizens of the United States
Right.
and of the state wherein they reside.
Yeah, that doesn't seem.
No mention of ancestry or
Well, I think a
lineage.
lot of
It's pretty unambiguous.
wiggle room there.
It is, but that hasn't stopped Trump before.
So, I mean,
He's already issued an executive order
yeah.
attempting to restrict birthright citizenship.
And what happened with that?
Well, it's been blocked by the courts,
Oh, okay.
so the legal battle is ongoing.
So we don't know what's going to happen with that.
It's hard to predict.
Yeah, but it seemed
But the
like.
stakes are high.
Yeah.
This could have far-reaching consequences.
So this is another, you know, example
Oh,
of
that's
Trump
ridiculous.
trying to sort of
He's trying to reshape
reshape things and twist
the
them
legal and social
to
landscape
fit his
to
agenda.
fit his worldview.
Yeah,
And
and.
it's a reminder that these rights
Right.
that we often take for granted are not set in
They're
stone.
not
They
guaranteed.
have to be constantly defended.
Right. So it's like history's not over.
Exact.
Yeah.
History is an ongoing process.
Right.
It's constantly being debated,
Yeah.
reinterpreted.
And we have to be critical thinkers that
Absolutely. We can't just passively
give things
accept
to
them
what we're
that are
told.
presented to
The
us.
truth. Yeah.
We have to question.
Right.
We have to dig
That
deeper.
to question assumptions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Seek out diverse
So
perspective.
before we wrap up today,
Okay.
I want to talk about one more story. And it might seem a little lighter compared to,
Right.
you know, geopolitical chess matches
Yeah,
and
I'm being.
constitutional debates,
Yeah.
but I think it's really revealing
Okay.
about where we are
I'm
in
in.
America right now.
Oh, right.
So remember how we were talking about Jesse Waters
Yes, the Fox News personality.
and him bragging about the right-wing media machine?
Right, and how they're running circles around everyone else,
Yeah, and you know,
weaponizing outrage, simplifying narratives.
and it made me think, is there like something fundamentally different
That's a great question.
about how
I think there
the
is.
right and the left
At a
approached
fundamental level,
communication?
yeah, their approaches to persuasion.
Like, why haven't we seen like a successful left-wing Fox News?
Right. Why hasn't that happened?
You know, why is it that?
Well, I think it gets to the heart of their ideologies.
Okay.
The right-wing media ecosystem
Okay.
thrives on emotional appeals,
Okay.
clear-cut narratives,
Right.
a sense of shared grievance.
Yeah.
It plays on our fears, our biases,
Yeah.
our desire for simple solutions to complex problems.
Right.
And that's very effective for a certain segment of the population.
So are you saying that the left?
The left tends to be more nuanced, more
Yeah. With
complex,
their
more
arguments.
data-driven,
Yeah.
and that doesn't always translate well
Right.
in a media environment that's driven by sound bites
Right. And, you know,
and emotional appeals.
outrage and.
Exactly. So it's a mismatch in a
And so
way.
the right-wing media is just preaching to the choir.
In many ways, yes.
Yeah.
They're reinforcing existing beliefs and
Right.
prejudices.
And the left is trying to like.
And when the left tries to replicate that model,
Yeah.
it often falls flat
Right.
because they're trying to appeal to a different
Right.
audience.
It's like they're speaking a different language.
In a sense, they are.
Yeah. So it's almost like we're.
It's like trying to sell gourmet coffee to
Yeah.
someone who only drinks instant.
Right.
The tastes are just too different.
So we're living in these two separate realities.
In many ways, yes. each with its own set of facts, values.
They were just like, we're not even
and that's a real problem
on the same page anymore.
It is, because it leads to polarization, division.
Right, and it's hard to
have
a conversation,
meaningful conversations across those divides.
You're not even agree on basic.
When you can't even agree on a shared reality, it's tough to find common ground.
So what's the answer?
Well, I think it comes back to
critical
thinking, media literacy.
Right. We have to be aware of the
biases, the agendas that shape the information we consume.
Right. And be able to evaluate sources and identify
accept things,
logical fallacies and
at face value,
the difference between fact and opinion.
Right. We have to be active participants in the information ecosystem.
Right. And not just passive consumers.
Not just passively absorbing whatever comes our way.
Right. We have to question things.
Question, analyze, evaluate.
Yeah. And engaging.
Engage in civil discourse.
In, you know.
Even when it's difficult.
Healthy debate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's a good place to stop for today.
Sounds good.
We've talked about a lot.
We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Ukraine to Hamas.
So
to the U.S. Postal Service.
Ukraine to Hamas to.
The birthright citizenship.
Right-wing media.
It's been a whirlwind.
Yeah.
But hopefully an enlightening one.
It's been a lot, but I hope you found it informative.
Absolutely. And engaging.
And maybe even a little bit.
And maybe even a little.
Thought-provoking.
Yeah. That's the goal.
So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Until then, stay curious. It's a lot to process, for sure.
It is. It's a lot to process.
But, you know, speaking of complex situations, let's switch gears.
Okay.
And talk about the hostage situation with Hamas.
All right. So the hostage situation, this is another one where...
Right. This is another area...
We don't have a lot of information.
Where information is limited.
Yeah, but what do we know?
Well, we do know that Hamas has recently resumed hostage exchanges.
Okay.
And there are reports that more hostages and bodies are scheduled to be released soon.
So that's good news.
It is a positive development.
But what's causing this?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah, is this, I mean, are they genuinely...
It's tough to say for sure.
Wanting peace, or is there something else?
It could be a combination of factors.
Okay.
Perhaps there are diplomatic efforts going on behind the scenes.
Okay.
Maybe some influence from Trump's tough talk.
Right.
But we also have to remember that Hamas has a history of using hostage releases as a way to gain concessions or international recognition.
Right, so we can't get too excited.
Exactly. Cautious optimism is probably the best approach.
Cautious optimism.
I'll have to wait to see.
All right, and then back here in the U.S., we've got...
Speaking of unpredictable situations.
Postmaster General Louis DeJoy stepping down.
Yes, that was quite a surprise.
So what's the deal with that?
Well, DeJoy's tenure has been nothing if not controversial.
Right.
You know, accusations of slowing down mail delivery.
Right.
Concerns about his ties to the Trump administration.
Yeah, and then the process for selecting a new postmaster general.
Right. It's a bit of an odd one.
It's very strange.
It's done by the USPS Board of Governors.
Yeah, and there's no input from Congress or the co-presidents.
Right, which has raised concerns about potential political influence.
So, I mean, are we going to see...
Well, the big question is,
not a loyalist.
Will Trump, trying to push for a loyalist
in that position,
to take DeJoy's place?
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
We will indeed.
Okay, well, speaking of loyalists and controlling the narrative.
Right, speaking of which.
Let's talk about the right-wing media machine.
This has been a hot topic lately.
Yeah.
And for good reason.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Well, Fox News personality Jesse Waters.
Oh, yeah.
Has been very vocal about the right-wing media's tactics.
What he's saying?
He's basically bragging about their information warfare capabilities.
So he's saying they're...
He's saying they're winning.
Winning.
And that Democrats have no chance.
Wow.
Because they're playing by a different set of rules.
Okay, so what rules?
He described the right-wing media machine as a well-oiled propaganda operation.
Really?
Churning out stories and narratives with incredible speed and reach.
Okay.
He said Democrats are stuck in the past.
So are they stuck in the past?
With their tiny press conferences and their nuanced arguments.
So he thinks...
He thinks facts and logic.
That facts and logic are useless.
Are no match for emotion and outrage.
Yeah.
And he may have a point.
Well, I mean, it is effective.
They've mastered the art.
Yeah, they're very good at
it. Of crafting simple, emotionally charged narratives.
Yeah.
That resonate with their audience.
And they've got...
And they have this vast network of outlets.
Right, they've got everything.
Amplify those narratives.
Yeah, they've got cable news, they've got talk radio, they've got...
Social media websites.
Social media, yeah.
It's a powerful machine.
It's everywhere.
It is, but there are some cracks emerging.
Oh, really? So it's not all...
It's not invincible. YouTube. Cable TV viewership is declining.
Okay.
Even Fox Music's audience is aging.
So what does that mean?
Well, it suggests that the future of political media
might
not be these monolithic, top-down media empires.
So what is it going to be?
Well, we're seeing the rise of independent blogs,
Okay.
podcasts, social media platforms.
Right.
It's becoming more fragmented and
Right.
decentralized.
And is that good?
It's hard to say.
Okay.
It could lead to a more diverse range of voices,
Right.
but it also makes it harder to discern fact from fiction
That's true.
and easier for people to find themselves in echo chambers.
Yeah, so it's almost like
We're entering a new era of information
where the
warfare.
battleground is the digital realm.
Yeah, it's not tanks and troops anymore.
Exactly, it's information and narratives.
And so we need a new set of
We
skills.
do critical thinking,
Right.
media literacy.
Skepticism.
Absolutely, we have to be savvy consumers of information.
Yeah, so how does that play into this story about the Washington Post
Well, this is a case in
and
point.
their decision to reject this
They tried to control the narrative,
anti-Trump ad?
and it backfired spectacularly.
Okay, so what happened?
They rejected an ad from Common Cause,
Okay.
which criticized Trump's environmental record.
Okay.
They cited concerns about accuracy and fairness,
Okay.
but they had no problem running a pro-Trump ad
Yeah.
from a fossil fuel industry group.
Really? So it's a clear double standard,
It is.
and it raises questions about their editorial judgment
Right?
and their willingness to challenge powerful interests.
So what was the outcome?
Well, their attempt to suppress the ad
Okay.
actually gave it more
Oh,
attention,
so it backfired.
thanks to the Streisand effect.
Okay, the Streisand effect.
It's a phenomenon where attempts to suppress information
Okay.
end up giving it more exposure.
So they basically, by trying to keep it quiet, they
Exactly.
made it a bigger deal.
They amplified it.
Wow,
It's a
that's
classic example
fascinating.
of how things can backfire in the age of social media.
Yeah, it's like you can't
You
control
can't control the flow of
the
information.
information anymore.
Not in the way you used to.
Right.
It's a different game now.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have one more story.
All right, hit me with it.
And this one, I think, is just going to
I'm ready for anything at this
make you
point.
scratch your head.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, Donald
And
Trump,
all people.
he's never really been known for
Not exactly a champion
embracing progressive
of
ideals.
progressive causes.
Right. Or really having like a nuanced
Yeah,
understanding
not really known for his
of
nuance.
history.
Right.
But he has found a newfound appreciation
This I gotta hear.
for a specific aspect of Black history,
All right, I'm all ears.
the 14th
The
Amendment.
15th Amendment, okay.
And you'll never guess why.
I'm sure you're gonna tell me.
It's because he wants to restrict birthright citizenship.
I see.
So the 14th Amendment was adopted
Right, after the Civil War,
after the Civil
a
War.
pivotal moment in American history.
And it granted citizenship to all persons born
Yeah, to all persons born
or
here in
naturalized
the United
in the
States.
United States, including formerly enslaved people.
A landmark achievement
Right. It
in the
was
fight for
huge.
equality.
It was this huge step forward for civil
A
rights
cornerstone of our
of
democracy.
equality.
Yeah.
But now Trump is arguing that this was never intended
Here we go.
to grant citizenship
Okay, so he's saying
to the children of undocumented immigrants.
it was only meant
He's
for
saying it was only meant for the
formerly enslaved people.
formerly enslaved people and their descendants.
Interesting interpretation.
Right. And most legal scholars are like,
Most legal scholars would disagree.
that's not what it
The
says.
text is pretty clear.
Yeah.
All persons born or naturalized in the United
Yeah,
States
seems pretty
and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are
straightforward.
citizens of the United States
Yeah.
and of the state wherein they reside.
Okay,
No
so
mention of ancestry or lineage.
what's going on?
Well, Trump has issued an executive order
Okay.
attempting to restrict birthright citizenship.
So is that going anywhere?
Well, it's been blocked by the courts.
Oh, okay.
So the legal battle is ongoing.
But we don't know
It's hard to
what's
predict
going to happen.
the outcome,
Right.
but the stakes are high.
Yeah, I mean,
This could have major implications
this is a
for immigration
bigger
policy
chain.
and for the future of our country.
So it's another example of
Atzilke.
Trump trying to
He's trying to reshape the
adjust
legal landscape
the legal and social
I find
landscape to fit his own
fabulous
agenda.
to fit his worldview.
And it's also a reminder that these rights that we often take for granted
Right, we can't take them for
are
granted.
not
We
guaranteed.
have to be defended
Right. So history is
harmlessly.
not over.
Over.
It's an ongoing struggle.
It's an ongoing
We're
struggle.
still fighting for the soul of our neighbors.
Constantly being debated and
Exactly.
reinterpreted.
We have to be vigilant. We
Yeah.
have to be critical
We can't
thinkers.
just accept.
We can't just blindly accept the narratives that are presented to us.
Right.
We have to
We have
question
to question assumptions. Yeah.
assumptions, seek
Yeah.
out different perspectives.
So before we wrap up,
I
I want to
do.
talk about one more story,
I'm
Emmy.
intrigued. And it might seem a little lighter
Okay.
compared to, geopolitical chess matches
All right, I'm
and
amped.
constitutional
Bring
debates,
it
but
on.
I think it's really revealing
Okay.
about the state of things
I
in
guess I'm
America
amped.
right now.
All right, lay it on me.
Remember how we were talking about Jesse Watter
Yes, the Fox News pundit.
bragging about the right-wing media machine
Right, the masker of outrage.
and how
So
they're just like running circles around everybody
he was
else?
quite proud of that.
And it got me thinking, Is there something
That's an interesting question.
fundamentally different
I think there is.
About how the right and the left
Their approaches are fundamentally different.
Approach communication and persuasion.
Yeah.
Like, why haven't we seen a successful left-wing Fox News?
Right, that's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Why hasn't the left been able to replicate that success?
Yeah, why hasn't that happened?
Well, I think it comes down to their underlying ideologies.
Okay.
The right-wing media ecosystem thrives on emotional appeals.
Okay.
Clear-cut narratives.
Right.
A sense of grievance and outrage.
Yeah.
It plays on people's fears and biases.
Right.
Their desire for simple solutions to complex problems.
Right.
And that resonates with a certain segment of the population.
So are you saying the left is just...
The left is more nuanced, more complex, more data-driven.
Okay, so that...
And that doesn't always play well...
Not as good.
...in a media environment that's driven by...
The sound bites and the
sound bites and emotional appeals.
Outrage and the
It's a different game.
So the right wing media is basically just
They're preaching to the choir.
Preaching to the choir.
They're reinforcing existing beliefs and prejudices.
And the left is trying to I don't know.
And when the left tries to replicate that model, it often falls flat.
Right.
Because they're trying to reach a different audience.
Yeah, they're trying to appeal
to people
who aren't
and a different style.
Interesting.
It's like trying to sell a gourmet coffee to someone who only drinks instant trains.
Right.
The tastes are just too different.
So we're living in these two separate realities.
We are, in many ways.
They can't even worlds
and talk to each other
with different sets of
facts, values, narratives.
And so
that's a problem.
How do we fix that?
Well, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
I think it comes back to critical thinking, media literacy.
Right. We have to be aware.
We have to be aware of our own biases.
Biases.
The biases of the sources we consume.
Right. And be able to.
And we have to be able to evaluate
information.
Identify logical fallacies.
Like logical fallacies.
Distinguish between fact and opinion.
Yeah. So basically, we just have to be smarter.
We have to be more discerning.
Yeah.
More critical.
More critical. Engage in healthy debate.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place to stop for today.
Sounds good to me.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We have, from international relations to domestic politics to the media landscape,
but Ukraine,
to the 14th Amendment.
Right-wing media.
It's been a whirlwind, but hopefully an informative one.
It's been a lot. I hope you guys found it informative.
Yeah, me too.
And engaging.
And maybe even
a little bit thought-provoking.
Thought-provoking.
So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Until then, stay curious.
It's a lot to think about, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
You know, and it kind of goes back to that. Remember we were talking about Jesse Waters and him bragging about the right-wing media machine?
Right, and how they figured out the formula for success.
And it got me thinking, like, is there something...
It's a good question.
...fundamentally different about how the...
I think there is.
...right and the left approach communication?
Yeah, their styles are very different.
And persuasion.
Absolutely.
I mean, why haven't we seen, like, a successful left-wing Fox News?
Right, it's a question a lot of people have asked.
Like, what is it?
Well, I think it goes back to their core ideologies.
Okay.
The right-wing media ecosystem is built on emotional appeals, clear-cut narratives, a sense of shared grievance.
Yeah.
They tap into people's fears, their biases, their desire for simple solutions to complex problems.
And that works.
And it's very effective for a certain segment of the population.
So are you saying that the left is just...
The left tends to be more nuanced, more complex,
more
focused on data and evidence.
Okay, and so that's...
And that doesn't always translate well to a mass audience.
Not as...
Especially in today's media environment. Which is driven by sound bites.
Right. And, you know,
an emotional piece.
The outrage and all that.
Exactly.
So it's almost like
it's a mismatch.
They're
style.
In a way they are.
Yeah. So the right wing media is just
preaching to the choir.
Preaching to the choir.
Reinforcing existing beliefs and prejudices.
And the left is trying
to. And when the left tries to replicate that.
I don't know.
It usually backfires.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to reach a different audience.
Right.
With a different message and a different approach.
So it's like we're living in
two separate worlds.
Different sets of facts.
Yeah.
Values.
How do we even begin to fix that?
That's the challenge, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean.
I think it starts with.
What's the other?
Critical thinking, media literacy.
We have to be aware of.
We have to be aware of our own biases.
Our own biases.
The biases of the sources we consume.
And be able to like.
And we have to be able to evaluate information.
No, the sources.
And figure out, identify logical fallacies.
Right.
Distinguish fact from opinion.
So basically we just have to be.
We have to be smarter, more discerning.
Yeah.
More critical.
More critical.
More engaged.
And engage in like
civil discourse.
Healthy debate.
Even when it's hard.
Okay. Well, that's a great point to end on, I think.
It's a good takeaway.
You know, we've talked about.
We've covered a lot today.
A lot today.
A lot of complex issues.
A lot of challenges.
Right-wing media.
A lot to think about.
It's been a lot.
It has.
But I hope you found it.
But hopefully it's been
Interesting.
enlightening.
And
And
engaging.
maybe even a little bit
And maybe even a little bit.
up-provoking.
Yeah, to get those critical thinking skills going.
So, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time.
Until then, stay curious.